Well, thank you all so much for having me. Thank you again to Pastor Roland and Lehigh Valley Baptist Church for allowing me and my family to come and fellowship with you guys in the ministry, and just hope that we've been a help and a challenge as we've been studying through some of these important spiritual truths. And I trust that God has led you perhaps to make some decisions, to make some commitments, or maybe renew some of the commitments that you know you had to make in living your Christian life on your spiritual journey. And tonight, our last meeting. And it's funny how quickly time flies. Feels like we just got here. It's because we did just get here. But seriously, the Lord has something for us tonight. Amen. Something new, something fresh, so be ready to receive it. Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. How many of you have ever read the entire book of Ephesians? Just by raising a hand. All right. It's a wonderful, wonderful Christian epistle. And the Apostle Paul is the author, and a lot of wonderful spiritual truths. The first three chapters deal with the spiritual principles that we need to learn and have in our hearts and our minds. And the last three chapters deal with our walk, how we put those spiritual truths into action, the practical aspect of our Christian life. And so in the first chapter, you read about how Paul says in chapter 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Paul is trying to have the Ephesian Christians and all of us as Christians know and understand all the riches that we have as our inheritance because we're in Christ. As Christians, we need to know what we have. We need to know all the resources, all of the provisions, all of the promises that God has provided for us. And just like we mentioned in the message last night, they're there, they're available for us. God gives, but we must do what? We must take. We know it's true, we read in our Bibles, but we must take it and apply it to our Christian lives. That's the only way we're going to see victory. And Paul is writing that they might know all of the riches of Christ. And he says in verse 20 of chapter 1, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." That means Jesus Christ is over all. He has authority over all. So there's no problem, there's no circumstance, there's no situation in your life and mine that he can't conquer and enable us to overcome. And Paul goes through these spiritual truths, and then from chapters 4, 5, and 6, he deals with how to live that out and how we are to live as new creatures in Christ, how we're to put aside things of the old man, the old nature, how we're to live as Christians, even in our homes, as husbands and wives and children, obeying their parents. And we need to put what we know to practice. Our principles, our doctrine has to travel from our heads to our heart down to our feet. But tonight, before we go, I want us to focus and zero in on Ephesians chapter 3 and zero in on this important prayer, this important truth that Paul wanted the Ephesian church to know and understand. He says in Ephesians 3 and verse number 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to preach tonight on strengthening our inner man. In verse number 16, Paul's prayers that they might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it reveals to us, truth that we need. And I pray that we would see our need of that tonight. Thank you for these young people and their heart, their spirit. Would you enable us during this time to be receptive and open to whatever you want to teach us? And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight clearly. I pray that we would be willing to obey whatever it is you show us for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is here in prison, but he's finding the encouragement to challenge these believers. And his prayer for this wonderful church at Ephesus is that they might know and experience the immense glory and power and love of Jesus Christ. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ. They read their Bibles, they know the doctrines, but they don't experience Jesus Christ in the sense of experiencing his victory, experiencing his richness, his glory, and specifically here, experiencing his strength. Many are weak in the faith and are not advancing in their Christian life as they should. They're not walking with God as they should, and it's a matter oftentimes of spiritual strength. I want you to consider tonight, how far will we go with God? How far will we go with God? And also, how far can God go with us? How far can God go with us as Christians? The Christian life is not just a matter of physical strength. It's inner spiritual strength, strengthening our inner man. In the 1970s, a craze began to sweep across America that had never swept across America before, running and jogging. And now that might seem like it's so commonplace. You look outside your neighborhood, you'll see people jogging all of the time, but it didn't used to always be that way. A man by the name of Jim Fix literally wrote the book, The Complete Book of Running. And he got Americans running to get in shape, to lose weight. But Jim Fix died while running. At the age of 52, he was running on a tree-shaded path in Vermont near his home, and he dropped dead, died of a heart attack. Jim Fix outwardly was a physical specimen, but inwardly he had 80% of his three main arteries were clogged, and he hadn't dealt with that inner heart problem, and he died of a heart attack. The Bible says that we need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. That means our private ministry with God is more important than our public ministry before people. That means that before we can go out and do the things that people see that are public, we have to do the private things. The call to be a disciple is before we can be fishers of men. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, the following comes first. The coming to be with Jesus, spending time with him and experiencing him and learning of him, that comes first. And then we can go out and be obedient and be fishers of men. Then we can go out and have our public ministry roles. And I'll just tell you for my honest testimony that one of the greatest fears I have is that I can maybe get up and fulfill a public ministry role. And people think that's successful, that's great, but be a failure in my private ministry with God. That's one of the biggest fears that I have, that I can do something that externally people say, wow, that might be special, that might be great, that's wonderful. But inwardly, failing at what matters the most, being with the Savior, following him. So the first priority and emphasis is to be with him, to follow him. See, when we don't do that and we focus on just the externals, what we're doing is we're building a house of cards. And eventually it's all just going to collapse and fall down. I think our brother Matt just shared that last night with his testimony, powerful testimony. How you can try and play the part and put on the act and do all of the external things to make your parents happy, your youth pastor happy, maybe even deceive your own self. But it's all going to come tumbling down unless you deal with your inner man, the real you. And so let's strengthen our inner man tonight. Number one, we must be strengthened with might, the Bible says. Strengthened with might. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that word might in the Greek is the Greek word dunamis, which means miracle working ability. It's where we get our English word dynamite or dynamo. It means an explosion of power and force and ability. It's the same Greek word that's used when it talks about the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was powerful. He can calm the winds and the waves just by his words. He gave sight to the blind. He helped the lame to walk again. That mighty working and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to work that power in and through you and me. that we might be strengthened with might. This is the kind of strength that breaks the bonds of sin and wickedness. This is the kind of strength that helps a teenager that's maybe in bondage to wrong thoughts, or in bondage to lust, in bondage to pride, in bondage to rebellion. This is the kind of strength that we need that breaks those chains so that we might be free and have victory. We have great need of that kind of strength. The Christian life isn't just you and yourself being as strong as you can be. That won't accomplish much. The Christian life is being strengthened with miracle working power that only comes from Jesus Christ. Be strengthened with His might. This is the kind of strength we need to serve God continually. This is the kind of strength we'll need to live the Christian life continually with longevity. The sad truth is the statistics, tell us that 50% of you, or maybe more, in 10 years from now, you won't be in church. You won't be faithful in the ministry. You won't be faithful in trying to win lost souls and praying and reading your Bibles. That's what the stats tell us. But it doesn't have to be that way, does it? It doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be the kind of Christians that we're like just a quick flash in the sky, a big flash bang, and then boom, gone, disappeared. I hope that's not your desire, to be that kind of a Christian. We need God's strength if we're going to serve Him with longevity. It's sad, but many Christians that started out well didn't finish strong. They didn't finish well. And I think it's because they were leaning on their own strength. They were leaning on their own flesh. And eventually, as the song says, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Christian life is not just a hard life that you have to live in your own strength and power. The Christian life is an impossible life that you can never hope to live on your own strength. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to be strengthened with His might. We need to stop losing casualties in the Lord's work and the Lord's church, people that are quitting church and quitting things of God, and because they've been living in their flesh for so long and they give up. They say, preacher, save your breath. I've done what you said before. I've gone to camp and I've made decisions and I tried to read my Bible. I tried to go out soul winning. I tried to get involved in ministry. And before long, I fell flat on my face. It doesn't work. Actually, it did work exactly like Jesus told us it would work. He said, for without me, ye can do nothing. See, what really works is when we say, Lord, I'm weak, but I need your strength, and I'm trusting and I'm taking by faith your strength, not mine, to serve you, to live for you. This strength is in unlimited supply. Paul says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We just sang the song, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, a wealth in every mine, and unlimited supply of strength is available to every believer. No matter how long you've been saved, you can be a Christian first day on the job and tap into that strength. And whether you've been saved for just one day or maybe you've been saved for years and years and years, we all need to tap into that strength. It's according to His riches of glory. Unlimited reservoir. So when our tank is on empty, we tap into that strength. This is the strength we need for conflict, for combat. In the latter chapters of Ephesians, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. Hope you guys realize, just because maybe you have some boundaries put around you, you have some protections in place in your life, that you don't realize that we're not in a playground, we're in a battlefield as Christians. There's a war, a spiritual war raging all around us. Yea, even within our hearts, our flesh is warring against the spirit, the Bible says. We're in a spiritual conflict, and we need spiritual strength to do battle, to make war with the enemy. Are you strengthened with might to do battle with the enemy? Are you strengthened with might to go to war and see victory? So first, we must be strengthened with might. But secondly, it's by His Spirit. Strengthened with might by His Spirit. The strengthening comes from the Holy Spirit. I've seen people who get fired up, charged up, And before long, they just flat out give up. Again, they lit a fire in their flesh that went up like a rocket and just fizzled out. Didn't last very long. Doesn't have to be you. That doesn't have to describe your walk with God. This is divine strength that's literally transmitted from the throne of heaven to your heart and mind. Directly from God to you by His Spirit, because the Bible says when we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved right in. We became His temple, His dwelling place. And we have that transmission of power from on high in our lives by His Spirit. That means we can never separate the power from the person. The Holy Spirit is the key. We're strengthened with might by His Spirit. And we've talked about the Holy Spirit and how key and how essential the Holy Spirit is in living the Christian life. And I fear sometimes we have some misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're too afraid to even talk about the Holy Spirit. I heard a child one time saying to his friend, "Baptists, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but Pentecostals, they believe in the Holy Ghost. We don't say Holy Ghost, we say Holy Spirit." And some people, they just kind of have a fear when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's real. He's a person. He's God. Amen. And He wants to strengthen you and enable you. He wants to have a relationship, a connection with you. We're strengthened with might by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to work in our life first in regeneration. When you got saved, salvation wasn't just, well, I'm changing this attitude, this behavior, I'm modifying this, I'm just going to make a few quick changes here and I'll be okay. Salvation was the Holy Spirit moving in and transforming you. Amen. Not just making a few changes, but literally transforming you from the inside out. That's why salvation is not just some quick 1, 2, 3 prayer. It's the Holy Spirit of God making you new, a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He's transforming us. Holy Spirit indwells us. There's only one indwelling. It happens the first time once at salvation. But yet we are commanded, as we studied earlier, to be filled with the Spirit. We're only indwelt once, but there are many fillings, I believe, where we yield ourselves and we pray and ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does it mean that I need more of the Holy Spirit? No. You got all of the Holy Spirit the day that you got saved. The question really is how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? It's not about how much of the Holy Spirit do I have. I got all of Him. Does He have all of me? Being filled with the Spirit is yielding myself as an empty vessel, empty of pride, of self, of leaning on my flesh, leaning on my own understanding, emptying myself and being open and available for God to fill me and use me. It's a matter of yielding ourselves to the Spirit. This strengthening is not just a force of energy or an effect. It's a person living and flowing through us. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We often say we want to be Christ-like, but what if we lived Christ's life, His life living out through us? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the Bible teaches us here that our inward man needs to be strengthened with the ability the Holy Spirit gives us so that we can do the things that we ought to do and refuse the things that we are supposed to shun. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, you read Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 8. And the Apostle Paul wrestled with the fact that in his mind there was this battle. He knew the things that he hated, he shouldn't do, but he found himself doing it. And he had this back and forth, back and forth. And sometimes we like to just say, hey, I'm just like Paul, Romans chapter 7, that's me. And we kind of settle for that. But I believe the Apostle Paul didn't stay there and live there. I believe when we get to Romans chapter 8, we see the victory that the Holy Spirit gives us. The Holy Spirit enables us to have victory over sin. And the Holy Spirit is what enables us to live the Christian life fruitfully. The Apostle Paul realized an important truth, and the truth that we need to understand tonight, that our inward man is weak and is unable to obey God and be effective for God. But with the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, that's how we can serve the Lord and see fruit. Not by our flesh, but by the Spirit. But what happens when we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit? Well, then we're yielding ourselves to our flesh. Say, no, I'm not quite yielded to the Holy Spirit, but I'm not quite yielded to my flesh either. Doesn't work that way. Just like when sinners say, I'm not quite lost, but I'm not quite saved. No, you're either one or the other. Amen. You're either depending on the Holy Spirit completely, or you're trusting in your own flesh completely. It's either one or the other. Amen. The reality is our flesh can rear its ugly head. And it's sad when Christians live in the flesh, because unsaved flesh and saved flesh can look very similar. And those that have been saved and redeemed by God that live in the flesh, sometimes they do and say things that people wonder, are you even saved? Why would a child of God even do that or think that? Because you're living in your flesh. And you ought to start yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God to make that change and difference in your life. So we need to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. But then number three, in the inner man. That's Paul's emphasis here. That the sphere, the central location where all of this takes place is our inner man, the spirit part of man, I believe here. And I believe that man is a trichotomy, that God created us, body, soul, and spirit. And our world today kind of has flipped the emphasis and the order that God would intend for us to have. God wants to deal with our spirit, then soul, then body. But man, we put a lot of appearance, emphasis on our physical outward appearance, on our body. For us guys, we spend a lot of time trying to sculpt our muscles, or lack thereof. And young ladies, maybe you spend a lot of time trying to do some construction work on your appearance. I don't know. But we spend probably too much time on our outward appearance. We really do as Americans. And we put too much emphasis on our bodies. And then some, maybe they go a little bit further and they deal with the soul. Well, the soul is our intellect, emotion, and will. And our soul has been marred by sin. And our emotions and our intellect can lead us astray. There are churches all across America today that people are going just so they can stir their emotions. And their emotions are stirred and they get all riled up and excited. But then when they leave, they're like that rocket I talked about, that they fizzle out and burn out very quickly. Because our emotions are up and down, here and there. We can't depend on them. No, God wants to deal with our spirit. When we got saved, He regenerated our spirit. And He works on our soul, our intellect, emotion, our will, and our bodies are all being conformed to what He's done in our spirit. But this sphere, the way this all of this starts, is our inner man and our spirit. And it's just as real as our physical body. There are some men in the Bible who outwardly were strong and quite physical specimens, but they never took time to strengthen their inner man. We read about King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everyone else, and he was the people's choice for king, but he wasn't God's choice. And eventually, what was in his heart came out, and God rejected him as king. We read of Samson, a great, mighty man, his brute strength that he had. And yet we know he never took time to strengthen his inner man. And he allowed the sin of lust, of self, to completely lead him astray. Physically, he was brute strength, strong, but spiritually, he was weak and anemic. He couldn't say no to his own fleshly desires. And that's how some Christians live. They can't say no to their flesh because they're spiritually weak. So the question is, will we be strengthened with might? Will we depend on the Holy Spirit? Will we deal with our inner man, not only focusing on the outward things that we can do, but the inner things that we need to do? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Our outward man is perishing. I'm learning that now in my 30s. Our outward man is perishing. We're getting weaker. and our bones become a little more frail, and our hearing starts to go out a little bit, and our vision maybe starts to go out, and our hair starts to turn gray or turn loose, whichever you prefer. So why would we put so much emphasis on the outward man? It's perishing. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Now I know what happens in our hearts and our spirit ought to translate and eventually outflow to our outer man. That's the way it works. God starts from the inside out. But sometimes we rush things. And sometimes we skip over the important things of dealing with our inner man, and we rush to the externals because that's what people can see. We think, well, I got to teach this class, and so I'll just go ahead and get the lesson ready and boom, teach the class. But we didn't really pray and ask the Lord to help us and deal with us and depend on His Spirit and pray for the students as we should. And we taught the class, and the class maybe even went well. And we even maybe succeeded, quote unquote. But we didn't really take the time to spend the time with the Lord and have Him work on our hearts. That's probably one of the biggest failures that we have as Christian people. We like to rush right to the external things that people can see and praise us for, and we don't deal with the inner man. If you're like me, I like simple things. Tell me just simple things that I need to do so I can get the task done. I like methodology, just what do I need to do to be successful. I like to read those articles, those 3 easy steps to be a good dad. Okay, I'll do that. 3 easy steps to be a good preacher. All right, I'm going to go ahead and do that. But the Christian life isn't that way. There's no shortcuts to living the Christian life. I'm sorry, there's just no shortcuts to this thing. It takes time. It takes time to get to know God and study His Word. It takes time to learn what the Holy Spirit is and who He is and depend on Him consistently. And I don't want to get mystical and creepy or weird, but let me just tell you something. There is something to just being still and knowing that He is God. There is something to walking in the Spirit and not always having to go out and do something great so people can take notice of us. There is something about just walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, experiencing Him. Like Paul says here, experiencing all the riches of His glory. There's something to that, and we need to get it back to emphasizing that simple walk with God. Our standards and our convictions are important. Our public Christian service are important. But they must be born out of a result of strengthening our inner man, not instead of strengthening our inner man. We skip over our inner man. We go right to, well, I'm going to look the part and act the part and please mom and dad, please everyone else. I don't think God's pleased. And isn't it something that the things which are not seen by men are the things that it takes to strengthen our inner man? The reality is, people can't see our walk with God, per se. People can't see our devotion and loyalty and love and commitment to God, per se. So we skip over that part. We rush through that part to the things that people can see, but it's those invisible things, perhaps, that really make the Christian life what it's supposed to be. If we turn to Isaiah 54, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 2. Isaiah 54, verse 2, Isaiah says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." God is speaking here, and He talks about the visible things that you can see. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And we like to enlarge our tents, our influence, our ministries, the things that people can see and praise us for. But God says also, don't forget to lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Those are the invisible things. Those are the things that maybe on the outside you can't really see, but that's what's actually holding the whole thing up. That's what actually counts and matters. And we had better make sure to strengthen some stakes, lengthen the cords. if we're going to have a lasting influence for Christ, we need to take care of the invisible things. As you build your tent, you need to take care of the invisible things. Take care of the inner personal life, personal walk with God. I know of a pastor that took a church, and he took that church, a small church, and the church began to grow and multiply. The church really began to grow, and outwardly it looked like an amazing thing God was doing. And the church started a Christian school, and many students and families were blessed by that. Young men were being called to preach, going off into the ministry, missionaries surrendering for the field. And on the outside, everything looked to be wonderful and great with that church and with that pastor and his family. But eventually it came out that that pastor was dealing with a problem with drunkenness. He had an alcohol problem. And he had kept it hidden from the church. And eventually it came out. In fact, he showed up to the church drunk during a teen soul-winning activity. And the leadership of the church had to deal with him. Eventually, they dismissed him. And that pastor eventually was divorced. It's sad what happened there for his children, for his wife. And that pastor divorced and remarried some woman. And they went off into crime, arrested several times. And the last thing I saw was that pastor died of a heart attack, still in his 40s. As far as I know, never really getting right with God. How in the world could that happen? God help us if that's what's happening in our churches. Why did that preacher fall? Was it a one-time decision or instant? No. I think it was a lifetime of doing all of the outside things to make people happy, but never taking time to deal with his inner man. Never taking time to deal with the sin in his life. And until that sin just took over and revealed itself. And it's sad and it's tragic and it's happening over and over and over again across our country. And not just in pastors' homes, but in every Christian home, there's issues. There's young people that grow up in youth groups that hear preaching like you're hearing, that go to camps like you go to camp, and they depart from the truth they were taught. Christians that I grew up with that had children out of wedlock, young people that I knew that were called to preach, that preached in church, and I mean, they preached with power, it seemed like. People that I graduated from college with that were surrendering for ministry, that you thought, wow, they were going places. And 10 years later, they're not even in ministry, not even in church. It's sad. I'm not saying it to brag on me or anyone that's still in the ministry today that hasn't fallen. It's just by the grace of God. But the reality is, we need to desperately strengthen our inner man. We need to understand this principle. Before we do what God wants us to do, we must be who God wants us to be. I think of another pastor that I know. He's actually we consider him a missionary, but he's a national pastor in Trinidad. He's been in ministry for over 50 years. He's in his 70s, and he's dealing with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all types of health issues. And he preached in our church last year. I didn't think he could preach. I didn't think he could even show up, but he showed up, and he preached with power. The power of God was still on that man's life. And can I tell you, as a young preacher, I said, you know what, by God's grace, I want to be in the ministry and faithful with power in my elderly years, just like Brother K-Wall, faithfully serving there in Trinidad. And what are the steps to get there? Is it just three easy steps? Is it just doing everything to make people happy? No. It's doing the invisible things. Things that maybe no one sees or no one might recognize, but that no one might give you an award for, but the things that count and matter the most. Being strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man. Are you tired of pushing yourself and failing? Are you tired of making decisions and maybe not keeping those decisions? Holy Spirit can enable us, can strengthen us. He starts that work in our inner man, and eventually it flows to our outer man. May we seek the Lord's help for this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,